Welcome to the Comics Misremembered podcast with your hosts Jim and John, and here's the opening music.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Comics Misremembered podcast. I'm your host Jim, and my co-host John is still recovering. It is still November, the last week of November. Hopefully all of my American listeners had a great Thanksgiving, which happened this past Thursday. And I'm thankful that I'm still able to do this podcast. I'm thankful John is still in recovery, still healing. He's on the mend. Hope to see him soon. We'll have more updates next week as to for a timeline when he'll be back on the show. So just wanted to, and also thanks to all the listeners that tune in each week to listen to the podcast. And we're going to be talking about the New Mutants movie this week. So thanks again for tuning in. And if you're new listener to the podcast, we play a little game, or we usually play a little game here when John is around. And I pick a piece of music that is relevant to the topic at hand, which is the New Mutants. And John tries to guess the artist and the name of the song, and sometimes he gets it, sometimes he doesn't. He likes to do this because he doesn't listen to the music, he doesn't listen to what I pick. He's very good at music trivia, and he's usually pretty good about picking up on things. If John was here today, my prediction would be this, is that he would be able to get the song title, probably, but not necessarily name the band, and I think he would have struggle with that. When that makes sense, because I don't think this is this band is not a band that he would listen to. It's not necessarily a band that I would listen to, but I am familiar with their music, and I might even struggle trying to get the entirety of the thing. So without further ado and adding to it, let me explain. So the song is by The Replacements. That was an 80s into 90s punk rock, but also going into mainstream band. And the song was called Bastards of Young. And the reason why I selected that particular piece of music is because in the New Mutants, the movie has some commercial songs in it. But this is a song that I picked up on when they were playing it, because it wasn't... There's some pieces of music that are in that movie that I kind of... My ear tunes out because I hear it so often that it's like my... That's how my hearing works every once in a while. It's like... You hear the same song over and over again everywhere, and then you kind of tune it out because it becomes so mainstream. Whereas this song, I haven't heard it in a long time. It's a song that I liked in the past. If you've never seen the video for it, I highly recommend checking it out. All it is a slow take of a speaker, a stereo speaker, and then it slowly pulls away from it. And you're kind of trying to figure out what's going on in the video as you're watching it. Interesting, very interesting visually. I don't know how well that went over when it was being broadcast on MTV. I remember watching it several times on MTV. But that's the reason why I picked the song. It is part of the New Mutants soundtrack, and it was a part when the kids decided they were going to play hooky and hang around and goof off, and so they started playing this song in the background as there's like this slow montage of them jumping around and dancing. And I really picked up on that. So we'll be talking about the New Mutants movie. This is podcast 288, by the way. So if you're keeping track, that's where we are. Podcast 288. And so for this movie, I was kind of like playing around how I want to present it. Now, for the most part, this is going to be a spoiler-free review of the New Mutants movie if you haven't seen it yet. And what I also want to do is do a little bit of history about the New Mutants and the comic book series and how it relates to the movie. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about that. The reason being is that John had purchased a compilation or some kind of compendium of the, I think it's the first 2 years, maybe even 3 years of the New Mutants. And it was something that we were going to do for a future podcast. So I want to get more into the actual talking of the storylines in that podcast. So that's why I'm going to kind of stay away, maybe give you like a high level overview of the New Mutants, the characters that are in this movie. I'm not going to go into like the history of all the characters that were part of the New Mutant groups, but just like the characters that are featured in this movie. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about the movie. I'm going to tell you, like last week, I reviewed The Man-Thing, which is based on a Marvel comic book. I also told you it's a very terrible movie and you should not watch this movie. You should avoid it like the plague. But why did I talk about it? Well, because I wanted to talk about the history. Like the character could be so much more, so much better. And I hope that the, just like Howard the Duck movie, I hope that Marvel comes back and tries to reinvent it in some capacity, whether it be a standalone movie, whether it be a TV show on the Disney network, the Disney Plus network. Somehow those two characters should get some kind of redemption in as a TV show or a movie. They shouldn't be left with the thing, that, like the man thing, the movie, that shouldn't be the last thing that you remember about that character. So, about this movie, The New Mutants, am I going to give you a same review as I did The Man Thing, where I'm going to tell you, avoid it like the plague? Or am I going to tell you, I actually enjoyed it and you should definitely go see it? Well, stay tuned, folks. We're going to find out what the answer to that's going to be. Now, I'm also enjoying a beverage or two during this podcast. This week's beverage, I am enjoying a Yuengling Hershey's Porter. I saw this at the store, at the Packy, as we call it here. I said, Yuenglings and Hershey's, two great things coming out of Pennsylvania. Why not put them together? Sounds like a good deal, right? Well, it is. It's a very good beverage. If you have the means and you like alcoholic beverages, I highly recommend picking up. I'm not sponsored by them. I'm just letting you know. I like to talk about things that I enjoy, and I like to share that information because you can enjoy it too. That's how it works on this podcast. Now let's get into the history of the New Mutants. Again, this is high level. It's going to be like a little background as to how the book came into being. I took this stuff off of Wikipedia. I figure I'm just going to read it, add what I remember. And in fact, let me just tell you before I start getting into it, I have a kind of a limited relationship with the New Mutants. I started reading and collecting Marvel comics probably about late 82, maybe early 83. At this point, the New Mutants was already a comic book. They had been for a couple of years. So when I started collecting them, I think it might have been around the 22nd issue, maybe the 21st issue. So late into the second year of the run of the story. The good thing for me, though, is that at that point, maybe actually, I think I even got earlier than that. I think I might have got the beginning of the second year. So issue 17. The reason I bring that up is that the storyline that the movie deals with is called the Demon Bear storyline. Short storyline, but very powerful to the characters that are involved in it. And I remember reading that, and that was kind of my introduction to these characters. And I really loved the New Mutants comic book back then. And the characters, how they were written. So it was awesome to find out that the New Mutants movie was going to be released. And I was very interested to see like how they're going to portray these characters. So here goes the history now. By the early 1980s, Uncanny X-Men, under the authorship of Chris Claremont, had become one of the comic books industry's most successful titles, prompting editor-in-chief Jim Shooter to launch the New Mutants. The first of the several X-Men spinoffs, X-Men editor Louise Simonson recalled, "Neither Chris Claremont or I really wanted to do it. We wanted the X-Men to be its own special book all by itself. But Shooter told us that if we didn't come up with a New Mutant book, someone else would." So the name was a modification of Stan Lee's original name for the X-Men, which was The Mutants. The New Mutants is a group of fictional teenagers, mutant superheroes in training, appearing in an American comic book published by Marvel Comics. They have been the main characters for three successive comic book series and spin-offs in the X-Men franchise. The first of the New Mutants characters were created by Chris Claremont and artist Bob McLeod. They first appeared in the New Mutants graphic novel in September 1982, and subsequently featured in their own title from 1983 to until 1991. So that kind of, I'm looking at the timeline, so that kind of is with the time that I started reading. So maybe I didn't read them until 1984 at this point. Like its parent title, New Mutants highlighted interpersonal and group conflicts as well as action and adventure, and featured large ensemble casts. With the end of the first series with issue 100, it then relaunches X-Force number 1. So, who was part of the original cast? Well, so here are the characters, and I want to give you the heads up on these characters because you may, if you've never read the New Mutants comic book, because these characters haven't appeared, well, I think in the new generations of the X-Men comics, some of these characters are making appearances again that haven't appeared for forever. But this is the original grouping of the New Mutant book when it launched. So we have Cannonball, who's Samuel Guthrie. He's a 16-year-old from Kentucky, United States, and eventually co-leader with the ability to generate a thermochemical energy and propel himself through the air, hence the name Cannonball, because he kind of fires himself that way. Then you have Karma, whose real name is Xian Khoi Man, a 19-year-old girl from Vietnam and the team's original leader, who could mentally possess other people's bodies. Then you have Mirage, and that's Danielle Moonstar, and she was originally named Psyche, but then they later changed it to Mirage. And she's a girl from a Cheyenne Native American, and eventually co-leader of after Karma's apparent death, who could generate visual, empathic, three-dimensional illusions. Then we have Sunspot, which is Roberto da Costa, a 14-year-old from Brazil who had superhuman strength fueled by sunlight and could store solar energy in his body and use it for super strength. And then finally, rounding out the cast is Wolfsbane, which is Rain Sinclair, and she's a 13-year-old religious girl from Scotland, United Kingdom, who could transform into a wolf and had a werewolf-like creature. So she had two forms. She could generate into a full-formed wolf, and then kind of half-girl, half-wolf, werewolf-type creature. So that is the original characters from the comic book series. In the movie, we have, not all those characters, but most of them. So let me go through who's playing what in the movie. So we have Maisie Williams, and she plays Rain Sinclair. So she plays Wolfsbane. And Maisie Williams, you're familiar with, she's a Game of Thrones, a fantastic actor. The next character is, we're going to say, Charlie Heaton, who plays Samuel Guthrie, Cannonball. And you'll know Charlie Heaton if you've seen Stranger Things series. He was part of that show. We have Blue Hunt as Danielle, Moonstar, Mirage. And I'm not familiar with Blue Hunt. This is the first time I remember seeing her in a movie, but she was very good. And then the second to last of the mutants in this movie, we have Henry Zaga, who plays Roberto Bobby da Costa. He's Sunspot. He's very good. This might be kind of like a little foreshadowing. I thought all the actors in this movie are fantastic. So you can maybe see how this is going to play out. And then the other mutant that I skipped over, because she's not part of the original New Mutants, she would come later in the series, but that would be Anya Taylor-Joy, and she's Ileana Rasputin, also known as Magic. And they like I said, they all play great roles in this movie. The other actress in this movie is, I didn't write her name down. Shoot. Oh, Alice Braga. I did write it down. So Alice Braga plays Dr. Cecilia Reyes. And Reyes is a mutant in the comic book series, but also she plays a doctor, more of a psychological doctor, but she was a medical doctor in the comic book series. And Reyes, I don't think Reyes ever has a code name as far as I remember. And she had the mutant ability to generate force shields. She could either put it around herself or she could force shield around other people. And she was kind of one of those 90s mutants, late 90s mutants, the Scott Lobdell years. And I like Scott Lobdell's stories through X-Men. I think now people are kind of reflecting on it and not having a great attitude towards it. I maybe I misread that or misheard that, but I liked Scott Lobdell's. You know, it was very difficult to follow Chris Claremont's run of X-Men, and now to have Chris Claremont, who has these like all these fantastic stories, leave in the 90s, and now you have to fill the shoes of the writer and continue the legend of the X-Men and keep the sales going. How are you going to follow up with that? And Scott Lobdell did a great job. He had a lot of great artists underneath him. You know, as he wrote through that. But I thought he did a fantastic job. So, having said all that, now you have kind of an understanding about who's in the movie and where these characters come from. If you never heard of the New Mutants, you kind of have a feeling about where these characters come from. The movie itself is based on loosely on the story of Demon Bear. And as I talk about the comic series and also the movie, I'm going to talk about the movie and reveal it and tell you how close it is to the comic series is. It actually is pretty close. It's like what we say about all the other movies that we review in this podcast. Not every single movie is going to be a literal translation of that movie, but it should hold the essence of the characters. It should stay spiritually close to the characters or as authentic to the characters as you can do in the movie medium. And the Marvel Universe movies have done a fantastic job about that. The DC movie characters are coming around. You know, we like the Aquaman movie. The Justice League was okay. The Wonder Woman movie, I thought, was kind of like the getting on that path of being more authentic to the characters. I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman 84, which they decided they're going to be releasing in the movie theaters and also on HBO Max at the same time on Christmas Day. So I'm looking forward to that. But that's what all movies should be. And all movies should be trying to be as authentic to the characters as possible. Does the New Mutants do that? Well, as we talk about it, we're going to figure that out. Now, I want to talk about the director of the movie. It's Josh Boone. And he did the adaptation and directed The Fault in Our Stars, which was a young adult movie. And he was then picked by Fox to try to do something with the New Mutants franchise, that since Fox, 20th Century Fox had license to. And so he co-wrote a script with a friend of his, and they were big fans of Marvel Comics, especially the New Mutants growing up. So he decided to take the Claremont Sienkiewicz run, which is it's the Demon Bear story plus other storylines in there. And he cut up, this is what I read online, he got that run. He cut up some of the scenes from that run, and Sienkiewicz's artwork is very visual. It almost, to me, looking back on that or revisiting that, is that it seemed kind of cartoony or cartoonish. It's slick, but it also has kind of a animated feel to it, which is good because it looks great for storyboarding. So that's what he decided to do. Josh Boone decided, I'm going to cut up the comics, make it more of a storyboard, present it to 20th Century Fox and say, this is what the movie I want to make. And this was kind of like back in 2015, I believe. And they decided to go forward with it in 2016, and that's when they started to film it. Now, what happens is that at the same time, Fox has other Marvel properties that some are doing well, like the Deadpool movies, Deadpool 1, Deadpool 2. But not so, and some are not doing so well, like the continuation of the X-Men franchise, which is X-Men Apocalypse, and then following that, the X-Men Rise of the Phoenix. We covered both of those movies through this podcast, and what we can say about the Apocalypse, Age of Apocalypse, is it called Apocalypse? I can't remember. And Rise of the Phoenix is, both have potential, especially Rise of the Phoenix, right? They get so much right with Rise of the Phoenix, that the first and second act are pretty solid, but then that third act is terrible. It just makes the whole movie fall apart. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to our podcast. We go into detail why the third act makes it all fall apart. Same thing for the X-Men Age of Apocalypse, whatever it was called. That it was a great setup, first act, pretty true to the characters, but then kind of like falls apart in the third act and the big battle at the end of the movie. So you had two flops, but the Deadpool movies are still doing very well. So Fox had hopes of this New Mutants movie, which would be a continuation of kind of the X-Men franchise. Now, so what had happened was Josh Boone directs the New Mutants in like 2016, going into the 2017, and he makes it, in the whole Demon Bear storyline, it makes it kind of like a horror movie. The elements of the story make it, lends itself more to a horror movie. And so they liked the original product, but then when they saw the flop of the X-Men movies that I mentioned, they said, well, let's kind of like move it away from the X-Men franchise and make it its own thing. And they tried to make it, they wanted more horror elements put into it. And so that's what Josh Boone did to be compliant with what the executives wanted. And it got pushed and delayed again. Years go by. It's 2018, it was supposed to be released. It gets pushed back to 2019. It gets pushed back. And now it's 2020, and it gets released without any fanfare during the pandemic into theaters, and it's quickly ushered out. Nobody saw it in the theaters because nobody was going to the movies in September when it was released. I probably felt the same way about this movie going into it that everybody felt, especially if you were a comic book fan, is that you had some trepidation wanting to see this movie. But I also was curious to see if it was going to be as, botched a translation adaptation as the last two X-Men movies. So I went in with, mixed emotions about it and to see what was going to come out of it. So let's start talking about the movie. Again, I'm going to keep this mostly spoiler-free. As I get to the kind of resolution of the movie, I will spoil the ending, so I'll warn you ahead of time that I'll say stop listening at this point if you don't want to know what the ultimate end of the movie will be. But I'm going to keep the setup mostly spoiler-free. The movie itself is set up as what's known as a bottle movie, meaning it's all the movie takes place in one location, which is a school, an abandoned school, in the middle of nowhere. What we're told at the beginning of the movie is that everybody that's there is kind of 40 miles, or maybe 20 miles, 20 miles outside of whatever the nearest town is. So you're out in the middle of nowhere. And the reason why they do this is, as you learn, is kind of like the protection of other people and the protection of themselves. Because the people that are at this school, and I believe it's supposed to be in Massachusetts, are there they know that they're mutants. They were selected to be there because they're mutants and to know their power and use their power. Now, Cecilia Reyes is the one that runs this school. And what she tells everybody is that we're here to help you learn what your power is, train your power, and then if you do well enough, you're going to graduate and move on to her counterpart's group and be with that group. So you're like, okay, great. So this is the New Mutants. They're going to train. They're going to move on to the counterpart, which would be the X-Men. So that's the setup. And the movie starts with Moonstar, Danny Moonstar. She is in her reservation with her father. All of a sudden, her father wakes her up out of her sleep, says that you got to get out of here. There's like a storm coming. They run outside. The reservation looks like he's being torn up by a tornado. And her father takes her into the nearby forest, puts her into the hollow of a tree, and runs off. And she's there in the tree, and she can't really make out the storm, but she notices that it was a summer day, and all of a sudden there's snow and blizzard and and you know, a tornado happening. And this is kind of an uncommon weather phenomena for that particular area that she lived in. And she remembers seeing kind of like the eye of the tornado pass over her, and then that's it. She kind of blacks out. The next thing she knows, she wakes up. She's at the school. Dr. Reyes is informing her that everything that I just told you has happened. Her father has perished as part of the storm. She has no family now. She has been taken here to this school, and she's been told that she is a mutant. What her powers are, we don't know what their powers are. But just like everybody else, we're going to find out what's the manifestation of her powers. So the next way that they get everybody together to learn the rest of the characters is kind of a group talk where people sit around in a circle. They say their name, why they're there, what they hope to get out of it. So Dr. Reyes is sitting there. Danny is sitting there. And we meet the other characters of the New Mutants movie, which are Rain, Ileana, Roberto, Sam Guthrie is there. And yeah, that covers everybody, right? Yeah, so that's all the New Mutants are there. And immediately, Magic, you know, Ileana, is a standoffish with Danny. And she says, "Hey, new girl, you know, you're going to come here and you know, it's going to think you're hot shit. You come here and try to, take over this school. But, I tell you, it's just like you got a thing or two to learn about the school." And I really liked Anya Taylor-Joy's portrayal of Ileana. So she's Russian and she has a kind of a Russian accent. So she at least, you know, she put some effort in to portraying the character. I also like just Anya Taylor-Joy's look. Here's the thing about her look is she is beautiful, but also she has this fae-like quality to her. She's perfect for playing characters that are not necessarily 100% human, because she's got a very unique look to her. And because of this kind of otherworldly quality that she brings genetically, it lends her to play these great roles. I first remember seeing her in a movie called The Witch, and that movie is fantastic, and she's fantastic in the movie. And so seeing her play another character is in Magic, which has this, her mutant ability is to teleport, but she goes to a demon dimension called Limbo, and she comes back and she has a demon sword that can manifest itself out of nowhere in demon armor. So she's like perfect to play this role, and she plays it to the hilt. Like she's the best I can't say that anybody else is poor player, but she to me stands out. The other player that stands out too is Maisie Williams, who's playing Rain Sinclair. The other thing, so as they sit around the circle, like, you know, Magic is kind of like being standoffish with Danny, which is not necessarily uncommon to the character's core being, but it makes sense that, like, you have to have, they don't, right here in the beginning, you have to have conflict. So this is going to be new girl coming in trying to claim the stake of the existing characters. So it makes sense in the context of telling the story. Now, the other character is, as I was going on, is Maisie Williams, Rain Sinclair. The other thing about Rain is, so not only she has a mutant ability, but she grew up in a strict Catholic household. And because of this, she was in her hometown in Scotland. Scotland is the country. I forget, is she from Aberdeen? I can't remember now specifically the town that she's from in Scotland, but she grew up strict Catholic, and she was beaten, and seen as a demon in her hometown because it makes sense. Like, these people have traditional Catholic views, and if you're not conforming to the standard and you're abnormal in their eyes, you're going to be seen as an outsider, as a demon. And that's part of the comic book story, and that's part of this movie story. not too deep. It doesn't get very deep into the whole, you know, Christianity storyline of, or I'm sorry, a Catholic storyline there. But again, it keeps true to the core parts of the character. She was shunned by her family, kicked out, and that's how she ended up in the school, which makes sense. Ilyana, you're going to find out, is she was from Russia. The bad people were trying to, they found out that because her older brother is Peter, who's Colossus, has that metal skin, that her and Peter were mutants living in the kind of outskirts of Russia, and they were going to use them, use their powers, their mutant powers, for bad things. So the Russian mafia were going to try to take them over. And between herself, Magic, and Peter, they're able to fend them off, flee, and get out of Russia and come over to America. This, they kind of keep that story. They don't really have Peter too much in this story. They're trying to keep it New Mutant only. So it's just Ilyana is able to save herself from these Russian mafia and then come over. So when she's introduced, she's like, "What's the worst thing you've ever done?" And she's like, "I killed 20 men. What have you done?" And you're like, "Oh, you want to find out that story, like what's behind that?" Then you also have Sam Guthrie, who's he's all beaten and battered. He doesn't know how to control his power. So he's got like a broken arm, a black eye. And that makes sense because his power is he can jet propel, but he can't stop himself. In the comic book, they say he forms kind of like a shield around himself, and that's what protects him. But in the movie, he doesn't know how to do that yet. So when he takes off, he smashes into a wall because he doesn't know how to stop. And he breaks his arm that way. And Roberto is standoffish to everybody. And when you find out his backstory, you understand why. His body is powered by the sun. When his power is activated, in the movie, he looks more like magma, where his skin turns bright orange and yellow, like the looking at the sun itself. Whereas in the comic book, it was always a sunspot, which is a black pattern. So instead of being that kind of onyx color that he should be, they decided to go with more of like what people would expect a solar-powered being to look like. And I don't fault them. I mean, it's their choice, and that's what they decided to go with, and that's fine for the movie. So now we've explained kind of a little backstory of each of the characters and why they're there and the problems that they have and what they're coping with. So this is, again, this is all kind of true to the original origin of the comic. So Danny explains, like, you know, she just recently lost all of her relatives, her father, anybody else that was in that reservation. And now she's here and she doesn't understand why. She says she's a mutant, but she doesn't know what kind of mutant powers are. So as the movie progresses, I think what Magic is doing is trying to I think she's trying to help Danny by antagonizing her. And what I mean by that is that most mutant manifestation happens, at least initially, is under great stress. You have great stress. It's during teenage years. You're going through the change of adolescence, and you're under great stress to begin with. And because of the change, the mutant manifestation pops out. So, Dr. Reyes is trying to do it in more of an orderly fashion, scientific method fashion. And it doesn't seem to be getting anywhere. And so Magic is getting sick of this. So she starts to antagonize her. So she was, because they initially didn't get, you know, click at the beginning between Danny and Ilyana. Dr. Raya says, "I want you two to be joined at the hip. You're going to show Danny around the school. And you're going to show the ropes, show where everything is. I want you to be the kind of the buddy system with them," which makes sense. Like, if they work together, maybe they won't be so standoffish. So they, the first thing that Ilyana does is take her outside, and she says, "You don't like it here, do you, Danny?" And Danny's like, I don't know. It's like, I want to try to find my family. I want to try to get out of here. And he says, well, look, the doctor says that we're 20 miles away from anywhere, but as long if you want to start to run, go ahead. As you can see, there are no fences here. There's not even anything on the gates. You can just run if you like. So she's like, really? She's like, yeah, why would I not tell you? It's just like, if you want to leave, leave. It's like, I got no love lost for you. So she decides that, yeah, she's going to run. So she runs and runs and runs. She gets outside of the walls that are there, but they don't have any fence gates on them. And she runs into the outer area, and then she hits a wall. It's an invisible barrier. And this is going back to Dr. Reyes, her ability. She can create shields, you know, and she makes a giant shield around the campus that's holding everybody in, and it's an impenetrable shield, so nobody can get out, even with their mutant powers. So magic plays a trick on Danny, and of course, you know, that gets them further antagonized against each other. Now, the other thing that happens that moves the movie along is that each character has... there's like something going on the campus itself. There's something uneasy about being walking around the campus, and you don't really know what's going on. And so the next thing we have is kind of like Sam Guthrie and Roberto just talking, doing laundry and shooting the shit. And we get a little bit more detail. You find out Roberto comes from a wealthy family, and that Sam is from a poor... What happened is that Sam says to him, you don't wear the same shirt twice, do you? Like, that's a brand new shirt, and I think you only just wore it once, and now you're going to be throwing it out? And he's, you know, tells him, it's like, oh, I come from a wealthy family, and you never wear the same thing twice. He's like, if you like this shirt so much, here, why don't you keep it? It's like, I have no use for it. So Sam, who's probably worn the same shirt every day for like a year, because he comes from a kind of middle class, or maybe even lower middle class, you could say, he can't see like somebody getting a new shirt and wearing it every day. He just doesn't understand that. And they have this, so this gets a little bit more detail between the characters. You know, we find out, you know, what's going on with Roberto. And so, and we find out what's going on with Sam. And so Roberto leaves after he does his laundry. Sam says he's like, I'm going to stick around a little while and just kind of sit here. And he starts thinking about home. And as he's doing that, one of the washer machines starts shaking, trembling, like something's in it. But nothing's in it. It's not even turned on. And as he goes over to the washing machine, appears into the washing machine, he starts peering into the abyss, peering into his own inner self, that he doesn't realize this yet. And as he goes into it, you start getting a little bit of the background about where Sam comes from and who his father was. He was a coal miner. Sam was a coal miner. And they worked in a mine, and they would, you know, mine coal. That's the whole purpose. And as he's seeing this and in kind of reviewing his life, there's a flash about like what happened and how he got there. And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but that's what happened. And it frightens him, this reveal. And when he does that, it triggers his mutant ability, and he smashes the laundry machine. He destroys it, and that breaks him out of this kind of daze that he was in. And he realizes he's back in the school, but he doesn't understand what kind of triggered that. Something's going on with this building. That's it. And as the movie goes on, we're going to have more of these visions that people are starting to have. I believe the next one is Rain. And Rain is in the shower with Danny. I have to preference this. Like, okay, let me take a step back now. So when Danny is around, she finds out she can't break free. And she finds, you know, she's living with the guilt, survivor's guilt of her parent. Her father is dead. Everybody that she knew from that reservation is dead. And she doesn't understand why she survived. And she doesn't understand what her mutant power is. She's told she has this. So she decides she's going to climb up to the tallest part of the school compound, which is a clock tower. and she's going to jump off and end her life. Now, this is also true to the story of the comic book version, because Dani is a character that's troubled by something inside of her, fears inside of her, and it becomes overwhelming to her. And so the weight of it weighs heavily on her, and she attempts to try to take her life. In the comic book, what is she does try to take her life. Somebody gets to her, and then she's taken to the hospital to recover. But they think that she's attacked. They didn't think she was like taking her life because she's unconscious at this point. So they are on the lookout for what could have attacked her. And they encounter a giant bear attacking the hospital. This is the comic book again. This is not the movie. And they fight the bear. But there's a close kinship between Dani and this giant bear that comes out of nowhere, starts attacking people. So I want to just put that in there, that, again, it's staying true to parts of what the comic is. Even the characters, as I mentioned, about Sam Guthrie, what we're going to learn about Rain, these are all staying true to the comic book versions of them. Now, getting back to Dani. So Dani's going to jump off the top of the tower, and she's stopped by Rain. And she says, "What you doing?" She's like, "Oh, I'm doing nothing. I just... like, just looking out there." And she starts talking about the weight of the world. And Rain is like, you know, if you come with me, you know, you don't have to take the weight on yourself. It's always good to have a friend kind of take the weight off with you. Those are not exact words. I'm kind of like, you know, putting it together. So she decides to do that, and they become very friendly. So they start hitting it off as a team. And there's a scene where they're in the shower, Dani and Rain together. And one of the things that Dani notices when they're in the shower is that Rain has a brand on her. And it's a W, because it's on her shoulder, and it's definitely a W. And she asks, you know, what does that brand mean? And Rain's like, I don't want to talk about it. There's some things that I just can't share with you right now. So, okay, that makes sense. What you come to find out later is when she was at her hometown, the local priest, you know, called her a demon and branded her the W as a witch and put that brand on her. Now, the other funny thing is she's later in the shower and she's attacked by what appears to be that same priest. How does the priest suddenly get in the school? And he has the brand again, and he's going to put it on her again. And she starts screaming. So everybody in the school comes in the shower, and when they get there, there's nobody there other than Rain. But what you find out is Rain has the second brand now. It's on her neck, and it was put the way that the priest put it on her makes it look like an M. Which is, I thought, very clever because, you know, the branding of mutants like Days of Future Past. And, you know, I got the wink and nod that they were trying to do to that. And then the more time goes on, Roberto, you find out the reason why he's so standoffish, you know, he keeps away from everybody, kind of keeps to himself, is that they were doing Truth or Dare game. And they say, he's like, Dare, and Leon says, you know, have you ever had, oh no, it was Sam Guthrie, I think it was, said, have you ever had sex with a girl? And he said, oh yeah, plenty. And he was hooked up to a lie detector, and it said, you are lying. And then he says, well, okay, one girl. And then it said, you were lying about that. And he says, okay, I'm sick of the stupid game. So he gets up. So later in the movie, you find out that Roberto had a girlfriend when he was young. And he was getting intimate with her, and it triggered his mutant ability, stress. And his mutant ability is to absorb sun, but also produce heat. You know, this is more of the movie, less of what he actually did. So this is the kind of a little difference between the comic book counterpart and the movie counterpart, is Roberto has super strength when he pulls in the sun's rays. in the movie, he's got like a heat ability. He burns people. So when his mutant ability manifested, he killed his girlfriend. And that's why he can't get intimate with anybody, because he's afraid it's going to happen again. He's not going to be able to control it. So again, keeping true, you know, I like what they did. I like the adjustment. Very good. And then the final manifestation is Iyana. She has a manifestation that the men are attacking her again. So she's sleeping. She wakes up and there's a demon man attacking her. And they're all over the school, because remember the story is that she was attacked by 20 guys. And she killed 20 men. So they now everybody has to band together to kind of like fight off. Like, where did all these guys come from? These demon kind of men creatures, man-like creatures coming through the school. Okay. So now we're going to get to the point where I'm going to reveal everything to you. So about, we're going to probably take about, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to kind of reveal the end, the third act of the movie. And so this is going to be spoiler review. But so for those who don't want to listen any further, what I'm going to say to you is this movie is great. I thought this movie was fantastic. And you, if you're a fan of New Mutants, or if you're just curious to see what the movie is about, I highly recommend checking it out. It is one of my, now after watching it, is one of my favorite mutant movies. I would put it up there with the original X-Men movie, X2, Logan, and then New Mutants in that order. I might even move New Mutants up to go above Logan, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But I want to just tell you my review of it, because I don't want you to not know if you should see it or not. It is a very good movie. So now I'm going to get to the spoilers. So at this point on, turn it off, go watch the movie, come back, listen to the spoilers. Okay. First spoiler, that the reason why people are having all these kind of ghost problems that get into the deepest, darkest secrets is Danny. Danny's mutant power is to get into people's psyche and then pull out the greatest fear and use that against them. So Sam killed his father because it was a coal mining accident. His ability went off in the coal mine and it killed all the men in the coal mine. As we talked about, Rains is that she's beaten by a priest and branded. So that's her trauma. Roberto, I just mentioned, his trauma is that he killed his girlfriend when his mutant powers manifested. And then Ilyana's power is her power manifested, and then she was trying to be abducted by people who wanted to use it for their own ends, and she kills the men, and then they become part of her fear when those men will come back and try to get retribution. So there's that going on. The reveal number two, I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast that Dr. Reyes is conducting experiments, and that once the mutants learn how to control their powers, they're going to go on to her counterpart, which you assume is Charles Xavier, which is very clever. But what you find out is their counterpart is the Essex Corporation, which is run by Mr. Sinister. And if you saw the end of Logan, I think it was Age of Apocalypse, there was Wolverine getting samples taken out of him, and they put into a suitcase that shuts, and it says Essex Corporations, and we all know that's Mr. Sinister, and so she's collecting mutants, and he's collecting mutant samples, and he's either going to say if these mutants can be controlled, and we never see Mr. Sinister, unfortunately, in this movie, but Dr. Reyes is getting these emails explaining what should happen. So I guess her kind of protocol is get mutants that nobody knows about, see what their power levels are, and if they feel that they can be molded to be controlled, they would move on to this other group. And if they can't, they would get genetic samples taken from them and destroyed. And you find out that Danny is a character that is super has a super mutant ability, kind of like an Omega-level mutant. But too wild to tame, and so she must be destroyed, but we'll get the genetic samples. So she's in the process of killing Danny and also taking the genetic samples. While this is happening, this is when Magic's manifestation comes out. Rain eventually gets to Cecilia, Ray's, and saves Danny, but attacks Cecilia in the process and kind of wounds her. It's a mortal wound. She's eventually going to die. All the rest of the gang finally defeat the fear of Magic, and they get to Dr. Cecilia. So she puts a kind of bubble around everybody, and it knocks Danny has been knocked out in the process. She was going to be poisoned, and it didn't work, but it knocked her out, made her unconscious. And now that she's unconscious, what you find out is her greatest fear is this story about a bear, which is true to the comic. Danny has this fear. And you also find out that Danny's father had a lot of stories about bears that you're going to hear about in the movie. And the bear is kind of like this fear, and either you confront the fear and control the bear, or you feed the bear and the bear becomes larger and the fear becomes uncontrollable and controls you and will eventually destroy you. And this happens. The demon bear becomes so uncontrollable now that she's knocked out, it manifests itself as kind of like a Godzilla-sized demon bear and comes in and destroys the school, chomps on Cecilia Reyes, so you're not going to see her in any future movies. And but the rest of the kids have to take Danny and save her and try to get her to wake up to confront the bear. And so the rest of the movie is that they try to fight this bear. Now, one of the things is Magic tries to use her demon sword and cut the bear and pierce the bear, since it is something that is unearthly. You know, it's a psychic manifestation of her fear. She's the only one that can really penetrate and harm it. This is also true to the comic book fashion as well, so I'm glad they included that. They also had, Ilyana had a hand puppet of Lockheed the Dragon. So Lockheed the Dragon is more so a character of Kitty Pryde, as kind of like a animal familiar with Kitty Pryde. But it goes back to Magic. So she has a Lockheed puppet, and at the end of the movie, the puppet becomes real and comes out of the limbo and helps her attack the demon, which I thought was fantastic too. I was like, oh, it's like more callbacks from the comic book series. Well, eventually the kids, big spoiler, eventually the kids do confront the bear and beat the bear. And now they are free. They're free to do whatever they want. And the movie ends with them able to leave the compound since Cecilia is dead. There's nobody controlling the grid, and they're walking off to their freedom and what's going to be whatever the next chapter is. Now, as I mentioned, I really like this movie. I was expecting, just like, you know, everybody else is, the movie has been delayed and reshot and delayed, and it's probably going to be terrible, especially from what we've seen with previous X-Men movies. It may be half decent, like previous X-Men movies, it may be half decent and then fall apart in the third act. This movie kept my attention 100% of the time. I haven't read the New Mutants comic in years, but it started to bring me back when I started watching the movie and I started to remember things about the comic book series. So that was great. It was very true to the characters, as I mentioned. As the story goes on, it's very faithful to each of the characters. It keeps things that are faithful to the characters, such as Rain's Catholic upbringing, Danny's Native American heritage, and also like the story of the bear. Roberto is pretty good. Sam Guthrie is good, you know, keeping to his roots. And Magic is fantastic, you know, being able to like talk about Limbo and her upbringing. So everybody's true to their character. I like the bait and switch with the Essex Corporation, and I wish they had more Essex stuff in there. And I wish there was even like maybe a brief cameo of Mr. Sinister. I think it had the horror element right. It wasn't too over the top. It pushed the movie forward. So there was no main bad guy in this movie other than fighting themselves, confronting their own fears, and then realizing that they can overcome their fears. So I thought it was very well done the way that they told the movie. Like, I remember even watching the previews, and I'm like, oh, they're making it into, like, a horror, like, a Blumhouse horror movie. This movie's not going to be that great. But luckily the movie, you know, subverted my original expectations, and it came to be like I said, one of the better mutant movies. X-Men will always be my favorite mutant movie because it was the first. It was the first movie, you know, besides Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, to get it right, to get like what the true essence of the superhero movie is about. The X2, I think it elevated that. So that's like, I always rate X-Men 1. Like if I was going to say like on true form, I would say X2 is my favorite. But you can't discount the original X-Men. So X-Men, X2, Logan is great. Logan's fantastic. We did a comic book movie review for that. So if you want to go and listen to what we originally said about that movie, you should listen to that podcast. And it even ties in, in the scenes in Logan where the children are being manipulated in that corporation and the girl escapes from it, X-23. They even make a callback to that in this movie, in New Mutants. I think that, again, the New Mutants stays true to form. There was no secret cameo end at the end of the credits. I watched the entire movie to the end. I bought the movie, too. I bought it on Blu-ray, not knowing, you know, what I'm going to get from it, but I'm pleasantly surprised by it. So overall, I highly recommend, especially if you're a comic book fan, checking out New Mutants. If you're not a comic book fan, I highly recommend checking it out, too. Because it's pretty true to form about what you can expect from these characters. From the comic, you can get a little history about the characters from the comic that you never knew about these characters before. And it may, you know, you may want to go back and read the original source material. The good news is a lot of the New Mutants comic books have been collected in trades. As I mentioned, John bought like a special kind of a collector's artifact edition, which has the original black and white pages of the New Mutants. So there's stuff like that that exists out there, and I highly recommend picking that up just for the Sienkiewicz artwork in there. It's a joy to read and look at. So that is the review for the X-Men the X-Men movie. Fantastic. Go see it. That's the end of this podcast at this time. If you like this podcast and you want to listen to any of the other podcasts that John and I have done, we always go to comicsmisremembered.com. That's where all of our podcasts are stored. You can also get the links to all of our social media there. And if you don't want to go to the website to listen to the podcast, our podcast is available where most podcasts are distributed, so you can get the links to that through the website as well. Thanks for listening, and we will see you in 7.